This morning we'd like to look at this 55th Psalm, and especially verse 22, where I believe that David is talking to himself, as he was prone to do. I think when David said, "Cast your burden upon the Lord," he's talking to himself. He is saying, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." It is believed that this particular psalm was written at the time that David's son Absalom had rebelled against him. Absalom was a first-class rat. He went to the gates of the city, and as people would come up to Jerusalem to possibly see the king, to get judgment from the king on their issues, he would say, "Hi, how you doing? What tribe you from? Oh, great that you came to Jerusalem, but you know, it's a shame. My dad is just so busy, he doesn't have time to see people. And I'm sure you're here to, you know, get judgment, but he's just careless. He hasn't appointed anybody to, you know, give judgment. And, you know, it would be wonderful if I were king. I would surely take care of these issues, and I would give good judgment to you." And the guys would go to shake his hand, and he'd grab their hand and kiss it. And typical politician, just, you know, all kinds of promises and you know, this gushiness. But he stole the hearts of the people. They were soon saying, "My, wouldn't it be marvelous if Absalom was king? Boy, things would really change around here, you know. David's so busy with all of his luxuries and everything else, he doesn't have time for the people. But Absalom, he has a real heart for the people." And so Absalom developed this conspiracy. He gathered these people around him. And then he came to David and he said to David, "You know, when I was in Hebron, I made a vow to the Lord, and I'd like you to give me permission to go down to Hebron and pay that vow." And David said, "Go." But Absalom instead announced to the people, "I'm going to Hebron to gather an army. And when you hear the trumpet blow in Hebron, gather together and we'll go up and we'll take the kingdom from David." And so he had plotted this rebellion against David. And so word came to David that Absalom was coming from Hebron with an army of men. David was terrified. His own son would turn against him. And he did not want to make Jerusalem a city of blood. He did not want a bloodbath there. And so rather than stay to defend the city against Absalom and his army, David decided to retreat to the wilderness, to flee from the city. Now there was all kinds of conspiracy going on within the city at this time. People were taking sides, and men filled with mischief were plotting on the streets of the city against David. And so David gathered those that were faithful to him, and he began his flight from the city, gathering first of all outside, and then over the Mount of Olives and off to the Judean wilderness, fleeing from this army that was coming from Hebron. And during the time of this rebellion, as David is in flight, he wrote this psalm. A psalm in which he expressed the cares, the burdens that were pressing so heavily upon him at this particular moment. His own son in open rebellion against his father, forcing David to flee for his life. His friends, many of the people that he had known, turning against him, plotting in the streets against him. Verse 3, he speaks of the voice of the enemy, the oppression of the wicked, and the hatred that they seem to have towards him. These circumstances brought great pressure upon David. He was heartbroken, and he was terrified of death. Verse 4, my heart is sore pained, and the terrors of death have fallen on me. Verse 5, fearfulness and trembling came upon me, and the horror has overwhelmed me. David was really wiped out. Now, I find this difficult because David has always been my hero, and the reason why he was my hero, he's so macho. I mean, he was a guy that was ready to face any kind of trouble. He didn't seem to have any fear in his bones at all. When Saul was pursuing him in the younger years, and David and his men, Saul, they watched Saul as he set up his camp with his armies. He's out pursuing David. David said to his men, which one of you guys would like to sneak down into Saul's camp with me tonight? I mean, David, so, you know, courageous, let's sneak down into the camp, you know. And Abishai said, I'll go with you. And so David and Abishai went right down into the camp. And here these guys were all snoring away, and Saul's spear was stuck there in the ground next to him. And Abishai says, hey, let me take his spear. I'll thrust him through, David. I promise I won't even have to hit him twice. And I'll get right through the heart. And here's David with all of this, you know, cunning, bravery and all. But now he's an old man. Not able to really get out in the fight anymore. And filled with fear. Filled with terror. Heavy, heavy burden. More than he can bear. And then word came to David that Ahithophel had deserted him and was counseling his son Absalom. Ahithophel had been one of David's closest associates, a confidant. He had talked with David, advised David, had been with David, and had given him such wise counsel. And they had confided in each other. And to hear that Ahithophel has turned against him and had gone with Absalom, he declares, it was not an enemy that reproached me. I could have borne that. Neither was it he that hated me that magnified himself against me. I would have tried to hide from him. But it was you, a man that was my equal. You were my guide. You were my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. And so this close friend that he had worshipped with, that he had confided with and all, has now turned against him. And it's more than David can bear. It's a heavier burden than he can carry. And David has taken what he sees, the only recourse at this point, and that's to escape, to flee. He said, oh, I wish I had the wings of a dove. I could just fly out of here into the wilderness and they'd never find me again. And the only thing he could do, could see, is to somehow escape. Oh, if I could only escape from this. There are people today who face problems within the home. Children in rebellion against the authority of their parents. And it's hard to see the children there in rebellion. They don't realize how much you love them and how much you are concerned for them. And it's really your love and concern that has caused you to place those restrictions that they find so offensive. And you see them bristling. You hear their little snide remarks. And it's hurtful and it's a burden for a parent to see the child in rebellion. Been disappointed by friends. You shared with them the intimacies of your own heart. And then they turned against you and they used the things that you shared with them in absolute confidence. They've used them against you. Your problems have become overwhelming. Your heart is filled with fear. You don't know where to turn. You like to escape, but there seems to be no escape. David, in this position, spoke to himself and he said, "Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you." And there comes that time when we have to just sort of stop and talk to ourselves and say, "Look, just cast your burden on the Lord." To me, it's rather tragic that so many people have to hit the bottom before they look up. That the Lord is the last resort. That they keep struggling until they finally hit bottom. And I think it's rather sad that it takes that before a person will turn things over to the Lord. But it's tragic. There's no place else to turn. Everything else has failed. And that's the point where so often we finally just release it to the Lord. I think it's sad that we wait that long. But you know, when a person is in the first stages of alcoholism, where they don't realize they're an alcoholic, but you can see them. You can see how alcohol has taken over their lives. You can see how that they are just a little bit under the influence almost constantly. And you can see how it has diminished their capacities. They're not thinking as clearly. They're making rash decisions. And you can see it from your vantage point, but they can't see it. They think that they're still maintaining. And you try to talk to them and they just brush you off. And they say, "Hey, it's no problem, man. I can quit any time I want." And you see them, and you see them as they are gradually deteriorating before your very eyes, and you feel so totally helpless because there's absolutely nothing that you can do. In fact, in our blundering ways, so many times in our endeavor to help them, we are hindering and hurting them because we can't stand to see them going downhill. And thus we try to hold their head up above the water. And in so doing, we are only enabling them to continue in their alcoholism. You know, they've been arrested for a drunk driving, and they call us up and they're crying, "Oh, it's horrible. I'll never drink again as long as I live. This is so terrible. Oh, please help me out. Come on down and be there and you know, tell the judge I'm a good person and all. And help me, help me." And you go down and you find out that really what they want is someone to post bail. The judge has said $500 and they don't have it. "And, oh, please. Oh, I don't want to spend time in jail. Oh, you know, and so, oh, you know, I can't stand Charlie being in jail, you know." And so you're only helping him to remain an alcoholic. You're not helping him out. If you have a friend that is in this case and he's an alcoholic, but he doesn't realize it yet, He won't recognize that he has a problem, but you do. If you will call Alcoholics Anonymous, the AA, and you say, I've got this friend, and man, he really needs someone to talk to him. This guy's got a real problem. His job is being affected. In fact, he can't perform in his work. He's going to be fired unless he straightens up. Can you send someone out to talk to him? The first question they'll ask you is, does he know he has a problem? You say, well, no, he doesn't realize that yet, but oh man, sorry. Call us again when he knows he has a problem. Because they know that somehow there is something within man's nature that we don't really seek help until we get to the bottom. It's not until I say, I've got a problem and I can't do anything about it, then they'll step in and they'll be with you 24 hours a day to help you. They'll sit with you around the clock. Because now you acknowledge, I've got a problem and you know you can't do anything about it. Now you're ready for help. But how tragic that it has to go that far before we reach out for help. That we let the burdens and the problems just weigh us on down until we're under such pressure that we just desire in our minds to escape and we wish, oh, if I just had the wings of a dove and I could just fly out of here, I'd just get lost somewhere, no one ever see me again. And the escapes that man attempts to escape from the problems and the pressures of life. David had come to that point. He was trying to escape from Jerusalem. He was filled with terror, fear. Heart was broken. His son, his own son, turned against him. His closest friend, Ahithophel, also had turned against him. Broken-hearted, filled with fear, David seeks to escape. But then he stopped and he said, cast your burden on the Lord, for he will sustain you. In the New Testament, we have a couple of passages of Scripture that are parallel passages. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. These cares that are weighing you down. You wake up at night, in the middle of the night, and your mind turns to the issue. And you start thinking about it. And you can't go back to sleep because as you're trying to sleep, it keeps coming back into your mind and the fear, the torment. You don't really know what to do if you do this, if you do that, but there's really no way you can do it. But, you know, and there you are, you're troubled, you're distressed. Cast all your cares upon him. Turn them over to the Lord, for he careth for you. And then Paul in Philippians 4:6 said, do not be filled with care, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be filled with these cares. Don't be filled with anxiety. Just turn them all over to the Lord in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Just lay them on the Lord. And the result is the peace of God will just come over your life. It's in his hands. I've turned it over to him. David said, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. The worship community often sings that psalm, he will not let you fall, he will not let you fall. He is never weary and he will not let you fall. And that's comforting to know. He will sustain me. He will hold me up. He will not let me fall. You have trusted in your own strength and you have found that it is not sufficient. It's time that you begin to trust in the strength of the Lord. But look what a quantum leap that is. No longer trusting in my strength, which at its best is weak, but now I am trusting in the strength of the Lord, which is omnipotent. No, I'm not able, but he is able. Yes, I am weak, but he is strong. And I cast my burden upon the Lord, and he sustains me. I'm not able to handle these pressures, but he is able. As we cast our burden upon the Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding keeps our minds and our hearts through Christ Jesus. Isaiah the prophet said, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, for he trusteth in the Lord. The peace of God comes to my life when I turn the issue completely over to the Lord. And I am no longer seeking to dictate the outcome. I leave that with God. Whatever. You see, the pressure and the problem comes when I am still trying to control the outcome of this situation. And I'm seeking to manipulate and work things out because this is what I want to come of this. And I'm determined that this... And that's where you beat yourself to death when you're trying to control the outcome. And that isn't really commitment. Commitment is when you turn it over to the Lord so completely that even you leave the outcome in his hands. Let's go back for a moment to 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 25. As David is outside of the city wall of Jerusalem now, and the people are gathering together, preparing to flee, here comes Zadok the priest with other priests, and they are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. David, we're going to take this treasure with us. We want the presence of God with us. We're fleeing from Jerusalem, but we'll take the Ark of the Covenant. And when David saw Zadok and the priests and the Ark of the Covenant, he said unto Zadok, take the ark back. Carry back the ark of God into the city. Take that thing back. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me here again, and I will see it, and I'll see his habitation. You know, if I find favor in God's sight, he'll bring me back. We don't need to take that with us. I'll come back. I'll see it again in his habitation. But if God says, I have no delight in thee, behold, here I am. Let the Lord do to me what seems good to him. I mean, now that's commitment. And that's where the peace is. When I get to the place, I say, hey, if God wills, he can bring me back to this place. I'll see it again. And if God doesn't, then here I am. Let God do what he wants to me. You know, if he wants to kill me out in the wilderness with the armies of Absalom pursuing me to the wilderness and killing me, let God do what he wants. When you place your situation in your life totally in the hands of God, let God do what he wants, then you can rest. Then you have peace. Then you say, well, whatever God desires, I'll accept. Now, you can't do that unless you know what Peter said. When he said, cast your cares on him,
He said, for he cares for you.
When I know that God loves me and God cares for me, then I can commit the thing completely to God. I can say, well, whatever God wants. My life is completely in his hands. I can do that when I know that God cares for me. I don't have to worry about the consequences, the outcome, because God cares for me. Cast all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He is as a doting, loving father who is interested in what is best for his child. And he loves you. And he's not going to allow anything to come into your life to destroy. But the purpose of God is to build up that fellowship and relationship with you by bringing you to that complete trust in him. Now, the interesting thing, if you really want to please God, God is pleased when you come to that place of complete surrender to him, where you say, hey, let the Lord do as he wants. Here I am, God. You do what you want in my life. And you have that kind of trust. You have that kind of faith of just leaving it in God's hands. That is the faith that pleases God. David said to himself in the midst of all of this confusion, David, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. If you're going through a real hard place right now, I'd like to just say, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He cares for you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that in the midst of all of our confusion, the pressures of life pressing us down, the disappointment that we have with sometimes members of our family, sometimes acquaintances which we thought were friends, our heart is pained as a result of our circumstances. We long for an escape, but we know of no escape. We thank you, Lord, that there is a place of refuge. There's a place of comfort sweet where we can cast our cares, our burdens, down at your feet. And you will sustain us. Lord, we just pray for that one today that needed to hear the things that were said this morning, who have come at the end of the road and have even contemplated suicide as a way of escape. Oh Lord, let them realize that you are there and you will deliver them. You will help them. You will sustain them. May they just cast their burdens on you in Jesus' name. Amen. What happened to David? Well, Absalom's rebellion was put down. Absalom was killed, actually, in the battle. David came back to Jerusalem and continued to reign as king. God sustained him. They that put their trust in the Lord will never be ashamed. I'd encourage you to put your trust in him. May the Lord be with you and bless you this week as you place the issues of life in his hands. May he guide you with his counsel and with his love. May you be sustained and strengthened in your walk with him. And may it not just, God help us. James said, don't be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. And as you're here, you've heard, you say, oh yes, I've got to do it. I've got to just turn all over to the Lord. I just can't carry that, Lord. It's just pressing me now. I can't handle that anymore. I've got to, yes, that's the answer. I've got to turn over to the Lord. And so right now you're saying, Lord, just take it. Turn over to you. No. But when you get home, don't pick it back up again. Don't say, well, what am I going to do tomorrow, you know? Leave it with him. Cast your care upon him and just leave it with him. Let the Lord handle it. Trust in him. He'll take care of it. God bless you.